Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday. It's Thursday, right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Has everybody had a good week? Oh, man, my week has been great. I mean, still have my good times, still have my bad times, you know, with my dad passing away, but, you know, it's getting better. And, you know, now I'm just trying to be the same. So, once again, thoughts and prayers from everybody. I want to say thank you helping us through. This time. Got a lot of great stuff today right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Once again, got some great headlines to go over. Hopefully going to have some call-in guests. I hope he didn't forget. So anyway, be expecting a call-in guest at the bottom of the hour. Once again, let's recognize some people out there. Pro-Am Belt, if you're a professional boxing, if you're a boxing, pro wrestling, MMA, pretty much any event, if you're tired of the same old trophies or medals or something like that, and you really want to do something neat that people can display on their mantle or in their trophy case or whatever, talk to Pro-Am Belts. They do some fantastic belts. They got some neat looking stock belts that are already made, ready to go. And then they can custom do belts. Now, you can find them on the internet, proambelts.com. You can find them on Facebook under Pro-Am Belts. So just make sure you check them out and give it a try. You know, just something beyond your regular trophies and awards. So we want to say thank you to Pro-Am Belts. We also want to say a big thank you to Cherokee Entertainment Mobile DJ Services for being a proud sponsor of the Greg Squirrel Show. I also want to say thank you to all the listeners out there that have tuned in and making this show keep going. So I want to say a big thank you to all that. Don't forget, got some great sporting events coming up. Bomb Stadium, George Cole Field, we have the Arkansas State Baseball Championship. Seven different class ball games take place, seven classifications, and the championship games. The best two teams in the state are going to be battling out Friday and Saturday. That's baseball. Bomb Stadium and George Cole Field. I forget what I think they just cut it down to Bomb Stadium now. I don't remember. So that's on the University of Arkansas campus. They also have soccer, the soccer championship taking place. I know there's some great teams from Northwest Arkansas. I believe Bentonville, Rogers are taking place. And I know in the guys, Portsmouth Northside, and I believe it's Springdale. They're going to be doing battle, and that's in the soccer, and that's going to be taking place. I'm not sure the name of the soccer field, but it's right there across from Ogle Park, which is the softball, and that's where I'm going to be Friday and Saturday. I'm going to be doing the PA announcement for the Arkansas State Girls Softball Championship games. We got scheduled to have three games on Friday, and then we also got let's turn to hoop off here. Okay, there we go. Got three games on Friday, then we got four games on Saturday, and like I say, seven different classifications, and they are going to be battling it out for the girls' softball championships. We're going to run down the listings here, and these are in no particular I'm doing these by the classifications, not by the actual starting times. I'll give the day and the starting times, but they're in order by the classifications. So let's take a look at this. Starting in the 1A, Taylor taking on Nemo Vista. That's Saturday, May 8th. That's going to be the first game scheduled for Saturday. Hopefully there's no delays due to weather or anything like that. So the first game scheduled for this is for Saturday at 10 a.m., Taylor versus Nemo Vista, and that's in the 1A classification. And then into 2A classification, this game also scheduled for Saturday, scheduled around 10:30. You will have Bigelow taking on Magnet Cove. So congratulations to both those teams. Then we move up to the 3A. This is going to be Friday action, tomorrow Friday afternoon, scheduled at 4:30 starting time. Into 3A, you're going to have Harmony Grove taking on Lavaca. So, once again, big congratulations to both those teams. And then we move to the 4A. Once again, this ball game is Friday, scheduled for 7 o'clock. Give or take a few minutes. In the 4A, we got Nashville taking on Ashdown. And so I'm excited to see that battle game. Those two teams, they've been pretty solid the last 3 to 4 years. Finally make it through the championship game. So anxious to see that matchup. Then we go back to Saturday. This is 5A action. For Saturday, scheduled to start around 5:30, you got Whitehall taking on Greenbrier. Really can't tell you much about these teams. But obviously they got something going on because here they are playing for the 5A state championship. Go back Friday, 2 p.m. start time. This is in the 6A classification. You got the Benton Tigers taking on the Russellville Cyclones. So that game scheduled for Friday, scheduled to start around that 2 o'clock starting time. So make sure you check that ball game out. And then in the 7A, you have the North Little Rock Lady Wildcats taking on the Rogers Lady Mounties. And that's in the 7A division. And that's scheduled for Saturday around 3 o'clock. So those are the scheduled starting times. Now, those times can be moved up, due to, some of the games ending early, and they may go a little bit later if the games go into extra innings. So if you love some softball action, it's scheduled, according to the weatherman, the weather is supposed to be beautiful. So come on out to the ballpark. That's Bogle Park. That's home of the University of Arkansas Lady Razorbacks. Matter of fact, the Arkansas Lady Razorbacks are going to be in Norman, Oklahoma this coming weekend for the first round of the NCAA Women's Softball. So make sure you check if you're a college baseball fan and you want to follow the Hogs. They're going to be in Norman, Oklahoma, home with the Oklahoma Sooners being the host. Hopefully, Arkansas will do good enough there that they'll advance to the Super Regionals. But they think that's what it's called. And if Arkansas makes it, they may be eligible to host. So make sure you keep that in mind. But a lot, it's getting that time of the year, where you got the state championships going on for softball, baseball, and of course you got the soccer. So the weather, once again, as I mentioned, the weather is supposed to be good. So there's really not a reason why you can't be outside soaking up the sun. I'm going to be in the air conditioning up there at Bogle Park. So, just, you know, give me a wave, say hello, do whatever, get my attention. I'll be peeking out once in a while. So that's what it is all about. Got great stuff right there. Then we jump back into the MMA action. June 1st, striking, Muay Thai, kickboxing. That's going to be taking place in Muskogee, Oklahoma, at the Muskogee Civic Center. Fights are scheduled to start around 6 o'clock on Saturday night. On Friday nights, we'll have the weigh-ins. So we invite everybody. Weigh-ins are open to the public, and I believe the weigh-ins are also at the convention center. So come on out and support the fighters. Even if you can't make the fight on Saturday night, come out on Friday night to the Civic Center. Meet the fighters. Get your pictures taken. And, you know, just have a great time. And show these fighters that we are supporting striking, Muay Thai, and kickboxing right there in Muskogee, Oklahoma. June 8th is the next big event. June 8th, that is going to take us to Springfield, Missouri, and the O'Reilly Family Event Center. That is on the Drury University campus right there at Springfield, Missouri. Uncivil War MMA is going to present Uncivil War 13 All-Stars. I was looking at the tentative fight schedules yesterday, looking like there's going to be about four or five title fights on that card. And, I mean, some of these guys are getting with it. There's some champions. I know like the Vaughn and what's his name? Let me pull it up here. Dean Vaughn and Miles. Miles, I apologize, brother, for forgetting your last name, but I got so many promotions and everything that I announced for that it's kind of hard to remember everything all the time. That is not what I'm looking for. Let's go back over here. Let's go over to this page. Here we go. I hit the wrong button. I apologize for that. Yeah, Dean Mighty Mouse Vaughn and Miles the Warrior McDonald. Now, these guys put on hell of a fight at the last event, which was the Uncivil War Heroes. Dean Mighty Mouse Vaughn won the interim strawweight title, and Miles the Warrior McDonald retained the UFC flyweight championships. Okay, so Miles McDonald is dropping down to the strawweight classification, and he's going to challenge Dean Mighty Mouse Vaughn for the strawweight interim title. Both these guys are good fighters, and if both of these guys are on their A games, Saturday, June 8th, this fight could go the distance. And I am not lying about this. If Dean and Miles, we're going to try to get them on between now and the show. And like I said, if both of these guys are on their A games, this fight could go the distance. And, you know, it could be a good fight. Some of the other title fights that we're looking at, and once again, these are tentative. As always, the fights could change at from day to day. For the featherweight, UCW featherweight title, you got Jeremy Popeye Cameron. He's going to be defending his featherweight title against Matt Gatchez. Both these guys fought back in 2010. Matt came out with the victory on that side, on that fight. So this is Cameron Gatchez 2. And with a lot more on the title this time. I know there's a belt on the line. Both these guys have advanced greatly in their careers. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens, Cameron Gatchez, too. I've already mentioned Dean, Mighty Mouse Vaughn, taking on Miles the Warrior McDonald. That's for that UCW interim strawweight belt. Jumping to the lightweight title. This fight is going to see Jason Scarface Hansen take on Michael Flawless Hollis. The lightweight belt was vacated, so these two guys are going to jump in there, and they've been determined number one and number two contenders for the lightweight championship. Well, they're going to jump in, and it's going to be winner take all for the interim lightweight championship. All right, we move to the bantamweight division. You're going to see Garrick the Enforcer White and Isaac the Badger. They're going to square off for the UCW bantamweight championship. So that's going to be a good fight right there. All right, then we're going to jump to the flyweight division. Top flyweight contenders, Yair Vallejo and James Beef Gurkey. They're going to fight for the UCW featherweight title. I'm not sure on that. I think there's a typo right there, but we're going to check that out, and we'll get that corrected. We'll find out for sure if that's a flyweight title fight or a featherweight title fight. We'll let you know. We got a middleweight contenders fight. Chaz, the Hawaiian Kid Rooks, taking on Cliff, K.O. King Williams. Both these guys have been great competitors. Cliff Williams is the former middleweight champion, and he's looking for a return to the championship. And Chaz Rooks is undefeated as a middleweight. So Chaz Rooks, Cliff Williams, that could be another classic on this card right there. Then we got the featherweight contender fight. Cassius Keene taking on Michael the Hitman Hardiman. I think that's his nickname. I keep forgetting. And I am known to make up stuff. Top featherweight contenders, Cass Keene, Michael Hardiman, they're going to take on each other with the winner getting a shot at the UCW featherweight title. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is it. That is the fight card. And that's what we're getting ready for. So those are the big events right there. Apparently we're having some problems with the phone lines. I haven't received any notices or anything. Apparently we have some people that have been trying to call in, but for some reason the message board is saying nobody's on the air. I hope we're on the air. I'm not getting any notices. If there's somebody out there listening, give us a call, 347-326-9073, to let me know if the phone lines are working. I would definitely appreciate that, because I'm getting some text messages on my Facebook page, which is Gregory Squirrel. Hold on a minute. 347-326-9073. Phone lines, 347-326-9073. So, we definitely invite people to get some. If there's anybody out there listening who's next to a phone, 347-326-9073. Just kind of give me a call real quick and let me know if the phones are working, and that way we can carry on. Hold on a minute. I know what I can do. All right. The phone lines are working. All right. I was able to do a sneaky. The phone lines are working. So, phone lines are working, 347-326-9073. For some reason, and apparently they were having this problem the other day, but about people being able to log on and listen to the show. I don't know what's going on, because I'm here, I'm on the air. So once again, we got some people who are trying to call in. Hopefully they will be able to make it. While we're waiting on folks to call in, don't forget, phone lines are open. You can leave me messages on my Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel. We also got the email up and running, the Greg Squirrel Show at yahoo.com. And we don't have the Twitter running, but you can Twitter me at ringannouncer1. And that's on Twitter, ringannouncer1 on the big Twitter. So come on, I haven't had anybody tweet me lately, so please tweet me. Doesn't that sound like a kid talk? Please tweet me. Sound like I'm asking for a treat. Sound like a little kid asking for a treat. Please tweet me, Mommy. So anyway, God, I'm goofy. It's Thursday. I'm goofy. I got to tell you about this. I am being sent to jail, ladies and gentlemen. And it's for a good cause. Muscular Dystrophy Association, Jerry's Kids, you hear about them. Every Labor Day, Jerry Lewis, Labor Day Telethon. Well, I am participating in the MDA lockup. And it's taking place on June 6th. So I think we got 21 days to raise bail. And, you know, I've mentioned it on my Facebook. I have 1,484 Facebook fans. And I don't know how many Facebook listeners listeners right here on Blog Talk Radio that I have on the Greg Squirrel Show. I think last count, I've had over 6,000 people at one time or another listen to the Greg Squirrel Show. But this is what I'm asking. You know, I'm asking for $5 a piece. That's not much. In the grand scheme of things, that is not much. So I'm asking $5 from everybody that listens to my show between now and June 6th. You can look up on my Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel, and you can find a post. You'll find a post about the lockup that's taking place. And you can make an online donation. None of the money comes to me. None of the money comes to me. My bail has been set at $1,600, which is not that much. Okay? But I'm asking my real friends, my true friends, friends with a heart, to donate $5 apiece. I did the math, and if all 1,484 of my Facebook listeners donates $5 apiece, like I say, that's not much. $5 apiece is all I'm asking for. Donate that to the Jerry Lewis to the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and there is a link on my Facebook page where you can do this. Do you realize that if all 1,484 of my Facebook friends, I realize not all of them is going to do it, but if you realize that if by some off-the-wall chance all 1,484 of my Facebook fans donated $5 apiece, that would raise over $7,000 for muscular dystrophy. That's going to help out families in our local community. That's going to help out with research to help find a cure for muscular dystrophy. I mean, it's going to help out families. It's going to help out kids. I'm tired. I am sick and tired of seeing kids. You know, yeah, they enjoy being outside. You'll never hear the kids complain about their life. But I get sick and tired of going to the mall, going to the park, and seeing these kids confined to wheelchairs and stuff like that, when they need to be up and playing with the other kids there at the park. And I have a lot of listeners out there with kids, so you need to think about that. What would you do if that was one of your kids? You know I'm hitting below the belt, but it's for a good cause. So once again, I am asking all my friends, all my family, go on my Facebook page. There's a link down at the bottom of my post about the lockup. Call in and donate $5 apiece. And that money goes directly to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Let's help $7,000. That's going to help out a lot with research. That's going to help out with a lot of research. So definitely go, you know, Facebook page, look up my post. It should still be my main post. Let's check. You may have to scroll down a little bit, but you'll find the post about the lockup. Matter of fact, I'm going to repost it right now. I'm going to share it right now once again so everybody can take a look at it. It's for a good cause, so let's get it done. All right? Let's get these kids. Let's find a cure for muscular dystrophy. All right. Have I mentioned all? Oh, no. I didn't mention June 29th. June 29th. I'm going to be going back to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Extreme Fighting, Inc. Going back. I call that going back home because I kind of started out when XFI was starting out. I was doing the ring announcing for them, and just because of scheduling conflicts and things like that, I haven't been able to do the last two or three shows. So I'm excited to be going back to Extreme Fighting, Inc. That's going to be June 29th. That's going to be taking place at the Fort Smith Convention Center. You can look up XFI, Extreme Fighting, Inc. on the Facebook. You can look them up on the internet. Go to their website. You can get their tickets. So that's June 29th. All right. Let's not waste any time. Let's get to the phone lines. Who do we got on here today? Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Who is on the phone today?
This is Ann Johnson.
Hey.
All right. I fight on a striking cards, Muay Thai kickboxing.
Right, right.
I've wondered what you thought about the show. It being
well,
the debut.
You know, what's the question again? You were breaking up on me.
I was asking what you thought of the show, especially since its striking debut was April 6th.
Well, yeah, you know, naturally being with the first show, they were expecting to run into some bugs, which did happen. We know there was some problems with the sound system, and we know what the problems with the sound system was. So I'm working with them on this too. We know what was wrong with the sound system with the music cutting in and out and stuff. So we are in the process of getting that figured out. Matter of fact, I know myself, Ty, and the other promoters there at Striking, we got a meeting set up next week with the Muskogee Civic Center and strictly to deal with that sound issue. So I know that's not going to be a problem with
right.
The next show. Outside of that, I thought the show went great. I mean, there was some hellacious fights. And
yes.
I mean, I've been doing ring announcing going on 12 years now, and I've got to say that those were probably some of the best fights I had seen in a long time.
Yeah, one of my favorite fights that night was Wayne Pokornik out of Canada and Billy Clark out of Stillwater. And I thought Wayne Pokornik was going to go down in the first four rounds, and then like the fifth round, Billy Clark knocked him out.
Right, yeah, I mean, I don't have the notes here in front of me because I, you know, when I'm ring announcing an event, I make notes of all the fights. But just from, you know, what I remember right offhand, I mean, that was definitely one of the top fights of the night. I mean, really can't say anything bad about any of or any of the fights that particular night. They were all good. I know the fighters themselves that I was able to talk to after the event, they were very satisfied with the way the show turned out. And like Ty said, me and Ty had a good talk after the show, and we were expecting some glitches being the first time out, and unfortunately, right. the glitches that were happening, we did not have access to the stuff. We needed to have access to fix those glitches. Otherwise, we would have had the glitches fixed at the first intermission. But, unfortunately,
right.
We did not have access to parts. There were certain areas of the convention center we did not have access to be able to fix those. I mean, so, you know, if striking doesn't try to go too fast, I see this being one of the top Muay Thai promotions and kickboxing in the United States.
Yes.
So,
I agree with that. Good.
No, go ahead.
I said I agree with that. I mean, them being the first show, I think they're going to be the premier Muay Thai kickboxing and the Central, Lower U.S., Southern, Midwest. I don't know what. Play the map one. But I think it's going to be like once premieres, you know, you have Friday night fights in New York City. You have that one in Utah, the one in L.A. I think Ty Pilgrim show is going to be the one here in the Midwest that everybody's going to be wanting to be on, you know.
I'm still amazed at the fighters because When I was looking at the sheets, filling out the information, and I'm sitting there, like you mentioned, we had fighters from Canada, Kentucky, Mexico, California. I can't think of anything outside of your big promotion that can have that type of outreach and that big a circle. Reaching out to fighters for their first event and the fighters coming in and giving it everything I got. So that speaks volumes right there when you got fighters from Canada, Mexico, California taking a chance on a day very first show and they're willing to take that chance and say, "Hey, let's go fight on this show, see what it's about." I mean,
yeah.
And it's just going to get better. I have no doubt in my mind that it's just going to get better each and every event. It's going to get to the point to where they're going to need a bigger facility.
Right.
I mean, I'm seeing that with one of the MMA promotions I announced with Uncivil War MMA up in Springfield, Missouri. I've been doing their event. Going on 2.5 years now, and they have literally gotten to the point to where their next event, which is June 8th, which is a week after the next Striking show, they're moving to a 4,000-seat venue. That's how much that promotion has grown because they put on good cards. They, you know, they treat the fighters with respect. You know, they put on good shows. They don't try to do too much at once. And because of that, they've been able to grow. Like I say, they're moving to the O'Reilly Event Center, which is on your Drury University campus up there in Springfield, Missouri. And just the regular seating alone holds 3,000 people. Well, then you add the chairs on the floor. You can easily push that to 3,500, and that's what I see being able to happen with striking. As long as they don't try to do too much at once, you know, like the old expression goes, you got to crawl before you can run. You know,
right.
Well, if they keep that in mind, and just slowly build it. I see the same thing happening with striking Muay Thai kickboxing. I see them eventually having to find a bigger facility. So
right.
the potential is there. I mean, the fighters I met at the first show, you know, very humble. You didn't see the egos like you normally see at some events. But all the fighters
right.
I talked to, they were very gracious, very very humble. You could tell that they had respect for what they were doing. And that speaks volumes right there. So
right.
I could go on and on all day, but I would just be repeating myself. Because the potential is there, and I'm happy to be a part of striking, Muay Thai, and kickboxing. So,
yeah, the thing that I noticed that put it way up there from the beginning is that the promoter, you know, is a world class trainer, and like he's like really a world class trainer. So you don't have just a regular promoter that's just wanting to put on a show. You have a guy that's wanting to put on a show and that's seen shows, real good shows. And that's a world-class trainer. You know, he trains world-class athletes, which is awesome that he puts on a show as good as he could probably, you know, train somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. You can always tell the promoters who are actually a part of the game, you know, who actually, like you said, who actually have done training. You can tell the promoters that are in there for the sport and not just in there for the, you know, you can tell those.
Yes.
So, any other questions or anything I can answer for you?
No, I think that was all.
All right, man. Well, hey, you know, I'm going to be back over there in June, be doing the ring announcing again. So, you know, I look forward to meeting back up with you and meeting the other fighters, meeting the fans, you know, and just looking forward to helping this thing grow bigger and better at each and every show.
Right.
All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate you calling in today.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
God bless.
See, guys, that's what it's all about. See, fans, that's what it's all about. I mean, and it's like I mentioned, you can tell the fighters who actually care about the sport. And that goes back, you know, that goes back to the promoter, and that goes back to the fighters themselves. And you can just tell who's in there to help promote the sport, help the sport grow over the promoters who are just there for a paycheck. And I am happy to say that each and every promoter that I've dealt with has been to help promote the growth of the show and not just in it for a paycheck. We got Bryant Pappas trying to call in. Hopefully he's going to keep trying back on me, or I might have to call Bryant. I think I got Bryant's number. Let's look up here. I've known Bryant for several years yet, for several years now. Great boxer. I met Bryant through my nephews, Chris and Shane Morton, who got into professional boxing, and through doing the ring announcing and everything, I had a chance to meet up with a fantastic guy named Bryant the Spartan Pappas from New York. Great guy. And Brian's been having some issues with the New York State Athletic Commission. And we're going to try to get Bryant back in here on the show. And let's see here. I can't find him. Where'd he go? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Let's see here.
I'm sending Bryant a message. Apparently, he's trying to call in, and I can't, and for some reason, he's not able to get through. So I'm going to try to call Bryant if I can get his number. Let's check back the switchboards. 347-326-9073. I did want to mention that tomorrow afternoon's show, the Friday show, we are not going to be on the air due to me doing the announcing for the Arkansas State Softball Championships. So there will wanted to make everybody let everybody know that there will be will not be a show tomorrow afternoon. So anyway, still trying to get Bryant Pappas on the air. I have no clue what's going on, but we're trying to get Bryant Pappas on the show. And once again, it has something to do with Blog Talk. I have no idea because I know Clint and the folks with XFI today, they have been having some phone issues. So I'm trying to get Bryant's number, and I'll just call him. I know he's called in before, and I wasn't able to save his number. Let me see if I can message him. What happened to Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City just kind of pooted out last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Memphis. You know, I really do want to see Memphis go a long way. But when it comes to Memphis and Oklahoma City, uh-oh, I think we got a phone call right here. Who do we got on here?
Hey, Greg Squirrels, Bryant Pappas, how you doing?
Bryant Spartan Pappas, my buddy from New York City. What's going
That's
on,
it.
Man?
That's it. How you doing, pal?
Oh, we are doing good, Bryant. Wanted to get you back on the show because I know you had called in back when we were just getting started. Kind of explain the situation that's going on with the New York State Athletic Commission, and I know it hasn't been pretty, and I know it's been a hard fight for you because, you know, I've been keeping track of your Facebook post. But I just wanted to give you a call in because, you know, I ran the question on my show last week of all the state-run athletic commissions who had the worst. And believe it or not, Arkansas, New York and Connecticut were right there in the top three.
Oh, that's not a surprise. I don't know about Connecticut. I mean, I can't really say anything about Connecticut. I worked a corner up there once with Stacey Goodson when Delray Ratings was fighting, and they seemed okay to me. But
right.
I could tell you all about New York.
well, give us an update and just kind of let us know what is the status, where are we standing, has there been any positive advancement in this situation with the New York State Athletic Commission?
Well, basically, just in case people haven't been keeping up on it, what happened was I fought last year in New York, May 12th, 2012, in Poughkeepsie, New York, which is about an hour and a half north of New York City. I fought a six-round fight, and what made this fight different than the other fights was the opponent, you know, we were issued gloves to wear from the promoter, 10-ounce Everlast gloves for me, 10-ounce Everlast gloves for my opponent. And we were in separate dressing rooms, and we, you know, shared the dressing room with other boxers and their trainers, you know, blue corner, red corner type deal. They separated you by corners in the dressing rooms, respectively. And my opponent at the time, he said, I'm not going to wear the 10-ounce gloves the promoter gave me. I brought my own gloves from home. And he went to a gym bag and he took his own gloves out from home, which is unheard of. And he was allowed to take these gloves out. And then his inspector, everybody's assigned an inspector from the athletic commission. His inspector said, whoa, 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 I don't know about that. Let me go and check. As he left the room to check on this unusual event that's not ever done, gloves from home, it's not done. because
you
can't do that. But anyway, he went to check with his boss, and in between the time he left the dressing room and he returned with his boss, the fighter had already, my opponent had already put his gloves on and had the gloves taped on. So no one actually inspected the gloves or witnessed him put the gloves on. So then the boss comes in, a guy by the name of Figueroa comes in and says, I don't know about that. I don't know if you can do that. Because he knows you can't do that. So he gets his boss, another guy by the name of Ralph Petrillo. He comes back. And from my understanding, from what witnesses have told me and what guys have admitted on the audio tape, which I guess they didn't realize they were being recorded at the time when they were being interviewed. But Ralph came in and looked at the gloves and said, no, that brand of gloves is approved. Not necessarily that particular those particular gloves he's wearing at the moment, but that brand of gloves is approved. And then they said, okay, and they didn't have him take the gloves off and inspect those particular gloves, which is still unusual.
So they let him go ahead and wear the gloves.
So what ended up happening was nobody told me a thing about this, you know, not one thing. So I went and I go and I, you know, I get in a ring and I see these different colored gloves. They were like a tan color with white thumbs. They were very unusual. They looked a little smaller than the usual gloves. And I didn't think much of it because I'm, you know, I'm getting ready for a 6-round fight with this guy. And during the course of the fight, I noticed the gloves felt a little different when he was hitting me with them. And I swelled up a little bit. I was bleeding a little bit, and then it was very unusual. And he ended up getting a decision, which is, that's a whole other story for another time. And I think based on him using those gloves and the damage he did to me, it was quite visible at the end of the 6 rounds. You can see the photos and everything on my Facebook, or, you know, Justice with the Spark, Brian Patterson, you can see the damage. So what ended up happening after the fight, he went down into the dressing room, and he already taken his gloves off in the ring, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to take your gloves off in front of the inspector in the dressing room, supervised. That's what I did. He didn't do that, and we have photos proving that. But anyway, he comes out and he takes his gloves off, and I'm upset about losing the decision. I thought I won, and I didn't notice. And my trainer Pascal Rouse tells me, go to the shower. So I'm thinking, like, well, maybe I got hurt bad, I got knocked out, I don't remember it or something. You know, that's boxing. So I went there, and, you know, I didn't get knocked out or anything. I looked in the mirror, and I couldn't believe, you know, what I saw in all the fights before, 14 professional fights before. I'd never been, you know, marked up like that before, and I had all kinds of splotches and weird discoloration. My left eye was closing rapidly, and just stuff you don't see in a boxing match, that type of injuries you don't see, and that extent of injuries in a 6-round middleweight fight you do not see. And it wasn't like I was getting beat up for 6 rounds. You know, it was a competitive fight, and it was a close fight, and I'll admit this much. Do I think he won 5 rounds out of 6? No, but that's, like I said, it's another story. So the next day I get a phone call, and they tell me, listen, the guy used his own gloves. The guy who was there and witnessed the whole thing said, he used his own gloves from his gym bag, and they let him. I wanted to tell you because I didn't think it was right. So I said, okay. So I called the athletic commission, and I said, hey, this guy used his own gloves. He used these gloves called Fuel Fight Gear. They don't even make the gloves anymore. And then Mr. Petrillo, Ralph Petrillo, the director of boxing at the athletic commission, told me, no, he used Title gloves. And I said, no, he didn't use Title or Everlast. He used Fuel Fight gloves, and they weren't supplied by the promoter. And I called the promoter, Brian Burke. I said, did you give this guy Fuel Fight gloves? Anybody Fuel Fight gloves? He goes, no, Title or Everlast. So I sent photographs of the guy wearing the Fuel Fight gloves from a photographer, a great photographer, George Jimenez, who had taken the pictures. And then the athletic commission, you know, they backpedaled and said, well, okay, he did use them, but we approved them. So, you know, you got no gripe. So I said, that's not right. So I filed the grievance, and they denied it. Ralph sent me a letter that he personally inspected the gloves, which he didn't. And I had a reporter, Mark Ortega. He called Ralph Petrillo. He called my opponent. He called my opponent's manager. He got all three of them on audio. All three of them on audio saying no one inspected his gloves. But then Ralph Petrillo sent me a letter that he personally inspected the gloves. So I went to the Inspector General's office in New York State. They did a lengthy months. This investigation was an 8 or 9 month investigation. Interviewed people, placed a lot of people on oath, under oath, and questioned them, and then didn't place some people under oath, which I thought was a mistake. And their conclusion was, and their lawyer said, that while it says in the rules, the promoter is to supply the gloves, black and white, there's no specific law prohibiting anyone from bringing their own gloves, which I thought wasn't, that's not right. I just said, well, there's a lot of laws. There's no law prohibiting me showing up in a ring naked, but you just don't do it. You know, it's past practice. There's not, they don't prohibit me. It doesn't say in the rule book you can't have a horseshoe in your glove, but that's not in the rules, but you just don't do it. You know, it's right. Just something that's not done. So the Inspector General just put forth some recommendations to the Athletic Commission that they change their rules and they make their rules less ambiguous and more clear-cut. As far as me getting a no contest out of it, no. As far as me getting any sort of apology, no. As me getting some sort of admission that the commission, Athletic Commission screwed up, or that Ralph Petrillo lied in an official document, no. I didn't get any of that. So the Attorney Inspector General kind of disappointed me, you know, and we're going to take it to the next level because, you know, if it can happen to me, and I'm a lieutenant in the police department here, it can happen to anybody. And like I told the Inspector General, I know New York State law, and I know the laws of boxing. I also hold a manager's license in addition to a boxing license in New York State. So I know the boxing rules and laws, and I know the New York State rules and laws. And I know a lot of those rules were broken. Criminal laws were broken. Official misconduct, perjury, they were all broken. So we're going to take it to the next level because it seems like it's kind of been whitewashed.
Right, right. Because, you and me, I've seen you fight on several occasions. I have even, I've announced your fights on several occasions. And whether it's been boxing or whether it has been in the MMA, every fight I have done, I have yet to see fighters using their own gloves. And
yeah, they don't do it. It's not done. Everybody knows that you can't do it. I mean, my question to Ralph Petrillo early on was, so you're telling me if Jermaine Taylor comes up from Arkansas and he brings a pair of Everlast gloves, that's okay, that's cool. Gloves he's been hitting the bag with, the heavy bag with or whatever, that's cool. And he goes, yeah, he can bring his own gloves. I just started laughing. I said, you guys would never approve that. You know, and it's true, they would. And what am I saying about the gloves? Honestly, I don't know what was in the gloves or wasn't in the gloves. I'd like to think there wasn't anything in the gloves. Honestly, what I really think happened was the gloves were a little smaller than mine. They were probably 8 ounces, mine were 10. And the gloves were what I call compromised. They didn't make these gloves. The glove company was out of business. The gloves are probably over a year old and probably used in the gym to hit a canvas heavy bag and whatnot. And so they were worn out, used gloves. And anybody knows boxing or MMA knows if you have a pair of gloves you've been hitting a heavy bag with, those aren't necessarily gloves that you're going to, you're going to fight with. You can't fight with those gloves. The padding's all worn out. The padding's compressed.
Oh, exactly. That was the main point right there that I was going to bring up. These were probably older gloves, like you mentioned, and had they had been used in the gym or anything else, like you mentioned, the padding wasn't as thick as it would be a fresh pair of gloves brought in for that event.
Right. I mean, I have a pair of 12-ounce gloves made by the Japanese company Winning, which are supposedly right now the premier gloves you can buy. They're very expensive, and they're renowned for their very soft padding. That's why these things are so expensive. And I use these gloves as bad gloves for about a year and a half. And these things, I couldn't even hit anything with them now because the padding is so worn out. And these are the most padded gloves you can buy today. So the Fuel Fight Club gloves were marketed, if you look them up on the internet, they're marketed as a quote-unquote puncher's glove. And they're marketed as a hard-hitting glove with not a lot of padding in the fist area. So it wouldn't take a lot to compromise the integrity, the structural integrity and the padding of those gloves. And that's what I truly believe happened. And I know the Athletic Commission is never going to admit they did anything wrong because they're scared of lawsuits. And, you know, they are a state agency, and they are appointed directly by the governor of New York State. There's no oversight. There's no civilian complaint review board. There's no mechanism for having a complaint or a grievance. They are the only game in town, and so they have unlimited resources when it comes to defending a lawsuit. If you're going to sue the New York State Athletic Commission, their attitude is, bring it on. We have unlimited resources because the taxpayers will pay for our lawyers for 15, 20 years, however long you think you can pay. We can pay longer, and you're going to run out of resources before we do. And it's really sad that that's the truth, but that's the way it is. I mean, look what happened with the Arturo Gatti, Joey Gamache deal. Joey Gamache, you know, the guy was almost crippled as a result of that fight, and Gatti never weighed in. He never, the scale never balanced. He was overweight. He jumped off, started chugging water, and they told Gamache's people, and Johnny Boz was there. They told him to shut up. So And they went to lawsuit, and they won the lawsuit after years and years and years. And Arturo Gatti was already deceased at that point, and he was actually going to testify for Gamache.
Right.
It's in New York State, it's just the worst. You got the athletic commission there is out of control. They had a few good people there. They had one good secretary there that they just let go for probably a very nefarious reason and a bad reason. And because she wouldn't play the game, and it's just horrendous the what they're doing here. And as a result of me saying something, I've been contacting promoters for fights and these guys. And, you know, I was getting called to headline fights. I was calling. I was a main event in 2011, July 2011 in the Bronx, the Paradise Theater. And now no one's returning my calls. No, you know, so the word's out. You know, the word's out. Don't put Brian Pappas on your card, or if the athletic commission is going to shut your card down or not approve opponents or whatever. But that's just, you know what, that's dirty politics and that's dirty pool, and people should know about
it. I agree. It is dirty politics because, you know, maybe it's going to take a lawsuit. Maybe it's going to take a fighter getting severely injured, and I don't wish that on anybody. God forbid that. But maybe it's going to take something like this happening, them realize that, hey, this idiot was using his own gloves that weren't inspected before the fight, before they'll do something.
You're right.
I hate to think that it would have to come to something like that, but unfortunately, just from what you've described, it sounds like that's what's going to have happen.
It's unfortunate, but you're right. It's going to have to happen. I mean, this is something that's so ridiculous. Boxing people are calling me. It's not like I'm just, it's my word against theirs. I have witnesses. I have independent witnesses. I have witnesses. I have fighters. I have a cornerman that was a witness. You know, I have people who saw this whole thing go down who were testifying and talking to the IG's office. I have an audio tape that the inspector general did not use. I don't understand why they wouldn't use the audio tape. It was obtained legally. It wasn't an illegal audio tape. It was definitely legal. And it definitely admitted a lot of wrongdoing, and they didn't use it. And you know what? I understand that the attorney for the athletic commission, I guess he's friends with the governor. That's my understanding. So I guess they wanted this thing to be squashed and go away. But I don't get it. I don't get it. It's bad, and it needs to be addressed. Like you said, a lawsuit may be the only way to go.
So I guess the bottom line is, like you've admitted, they're probably not going to reverse the decision for a fight.
Right.
In the long run, you know, keeping the fight going, keep pursuing this, what do you want to see happen?
Obviously I would love to get a no contest. I would love to get a no contest in immediate, well, not immediate now because it's over a year now. I'd love to have a no contest in a rematch in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Arkansas, the Jupiter, the moon. I don't care. You know, and you know what? It's a funny thing. I don't blame the opponent. I don't blame him. He didn't know, or maybe he did know, but I don't really blame him, because the opponent's going to get away with, in the ring or out of the ring, whatever they think they can get away with, and whatever the athletic commission lets them get away with. I don't blame the opponent. He seemed like a heck of a nice guy. And to tell you the truth, I don't really even blame his manager either. I don't blame him. I mean, but the buck does stop with the athletic commission. So what do I really want in the perfect world? I would want a no contest, and I would want an apology. I want an apology. That's all I want. I'm not looking for Mega Millions, you know. But the longer this goes on, and the more they just lie to my face, the more insulted I get, and the more stress it causes me. And my career's been on the hold since then. I haven't fought since that fight. And you know what? Yeah, there was some injuries. You know, there was some injuries I sustained as a result of that, and injuries that have to be addressed. But heck, I would love to fight again. I would like to get on with my career, as you know, because I'm a little older and I'm not getting any younger right now, but
right.
It's just a shame. I mean, I still want the no contest. I mean, think about it. You got Jay Leon, Love or whatever, who just tested for that for the water pill or whatever he took against Gabe Rosado. He tested positive. They're going to make that a no contest. So that's a clear violation of the rules because he tested so positive. So what they're going to do is they're going to take the decision away. Now, obviously, taking some sort of performance-enhancing drug would influence the outcome of the match. Absolutely. I also think that unauthorized equipment, specifically boxing gloves, could also influence the outcome of the match, much in the same way a performance-enhancing drug would. So I think...
Okay, Brian, let me cut you off here. Ladies and gentlemen, we got about 5 seconds left on But we're going to continue this conversation off the air that you can listen to the blog talk. So we'll see you Monday on the blog on the Greg Skrull Show. Okay, now Brian, like I just mentioned, we're still recording this show because, you know, I'm supporting you.
I appreciate it.
You know, we're going to keep the recorders going so the people can come back and listen to the replay, you know, at their convenience. So, I mean, it really sounds like a bad situation there. You still there, Brian?
Right.
Yeah, you still there, brother? Brian? Oh, man, I think I lost him. Okay, well, apparently we've lost Bryant Pappas, but, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get Bryant back on the show, and, you know, we're going to keep on top of this situation because, you know, that's a very serious situation that, you know, they're letting fighters use their own gloves. I mean, I think the last time Bryant was on the show, and I mentioned the fact that, you know, if the promoter should have stepped in and said, you either use our gloves or you're not fighting. Sounds to me, and I mentioned this earlier, sounds like a promoter that's just in it for the money. He needed to keep that fight on the card, so he let this fighter go ahead and use his own gloves, even though they, you know, they weren't, what's the word I'm looking for? Bryant, I lost Bryant. I'm telling Bryant to call back. And I'm going to give Brian a whole hour on this. We're going to do an entire hour on this particular event, on this situation. All right. So, you know, we're going to reschedule Bryant. We're going to get him back on the show, and, you know, we're going to talk about that. Like I was saying, just once again, this sounds like one of those promoters that was in it for the buck. You know, Brian's a heck of a fighter. You know, Brian should be headlining shows. But because New York is blackballing him, none of the promoters up there are going to touch him, and that's sad. So Bryant puts on a good show. I wish Bryant Pappas all the luck. And I hope it does not come to a fighter getting severely hurt or injured or killed before the New York State Athletic Commission gets their head out of their butt and does something about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been best show since I've been doing the shows. I'll put it like that right now. Good subjects to talk about. So we're going to get Bryant Pappas. We're going to give him a whole hour. We may even go to 2 hours and give it to Bryant Pappas. But this is a serious issue. Promoters, you have got to learn to step up to these fighters and tell these fighters that if you don't use our gloves that we provide, you're not fighting on the card. Because of situations like this, somebody getting beat up, hurt, or whatever. So, we're going to get out of here. Once again, we will not be back on the air tomorrow. We will be back on the air Monday, 4 o'clock. So, everybody have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday on the Greg Skrull Show.